This is Kristen Chenoweth, and you're listening to Keith Price's Curtain Call.
You said you never compromise with the mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and ask him, do you want to make a deal? Oh, but how does it feel?
Now that's a nice little tapestry of music, taking Bob Dylan's music and turning it into a musical and making songs sound completely unlike what I thought they would ever sound like, because I always hear Bob Dylan's terrible voice singing them. All right, and we're back.
That's why I didn't want to go, because I thought
the girl, exactly. Like, could you imagine? The Girl from the North Country. That's one of the shows that's nominated for Best Musical, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments, because we are back now with our armchairs predictions.
Did you guys see the first Bob Dylan musical on Broadway? Because I did.
I don't know. Which one was it?
The Times They Are A-Changin'.
Oh, no.
Oh, good Lord. It was a Twilight Sharp musical. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
They cut the intermission because people kept leaving. Anyway, good times.
Well, at least he's getting a resurgence now in a much more...
exactly.
A more respectable way. That voice you hear is my friend Paul Winkler, who is a actor, he is a broadcaster, he is a blogger, he's a social bon vivant, he is all over social media, and he's also a big Broadway fan like myself, as well as author, actor himself, Mr. Gregory Allen, is here with me, and we are doing what we love to do this time of the year, which is handicap what we think are going to be the big winners since the Tony announcements were made yesterday or today, and we are living in the moment. So, forget what time it is, because we're doing this late at night.
Did I freeze or did everyone freeze?
You might have frozen, but you're back, and that's what's important. I totally see you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go kind of technical before we go to the Best Plays, Musicals, Revival, and all that jazz, and look at the Best Directors category. And in that category, as I keep scrolling, Best Direction of a Play, we have Liliana Blaine-Cruz for The Skin of Our Teeth, Camille A. Brown for Colored Girls, Sam Mendes, The Lehman Trilogy, Neil Pepe, American Buffalo, and Les Waters, Dana H. Take it away, Greg.
Well, I did not see all of these, but I will say it would be wonderful to see Camille A. Brown win this one.
Yes.
I think that would be a really great way for them to show this show that's had a tough time. It's had a tough time finding an audience. Like we were saying before, I hope maybe they will, you know, extend since they got so many nominations, but that would be nice in this category in my brain.
How about you, Mr. Paul?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm trying to remember, there was some stat, I think Camila was like the first Black female director in like decades or something.
Yes, the first
like that.
Black female director choreographer, 67 years.
Wow.
Yeah. 67 years.
What?
In 67 years. My thing is, who was the sister that did it before?
Yeah.
Because that
should be on Paul's spreadsheet.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, but it should be.
But it should be. And it's a wonderful production. And like I said, what she did with that show is short of amazing, because I've always wondered how that show would ever get done on a Broadway stage. And she managed to make it, she made it a full show in the way that she did it. So I ain't mad at her. So let's go shout out for Camille A. Brown. Let's look at Best Direction of a Musical. Stephen Brackett, A Strange Loop. Marion Elliott, for Company. Connor McPherson for Girl from the North Country. Lucy Moss and Jamie Armitage for Six. And Christopher Wheeldon for MJ.
I have a feeling it's going to go to Marion Elliott. And
I think so too.
I think it's because she also very much is like reconceiving the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes beyond what some directors do, you know, with their musicals.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it. But I would also say Stephen Brackett should be up there, you know?
Yep.
Maybe it's a tie. We'll see.
How about you, Greg?
No, I agree with you. I think Marianne's going to get it as well for this one.
Wow. Because do you feel like Stephen Brackett is going to get booted out because he's the white guy directing
the black show?
I mean, it could happen.
It could happen.
I feel like if it's going to be a sweep for that whole show, then he will definitely walk away with it. But if they want to do, since I haven't seen Company either, nor Six, actually, I have only seen just A Strange Loop. Now I'm looking at the list. But what I've heard of things about Marianne Elliott's work, that, you know, and bringing it over and what she's done with the female Bobby and the whole thing, they've given it a fresher look for a revival, which is really what you want when you get to a revival. So
yeah,
I'm going to say Stephen Brackett probably will get it in the end with the sweep, because he's like the white guy with the black folks doing it. So it's a hand-in-hand, you know, kind of thing. That's how I'm thinking. I could be wrong. You know,
there was also like a gay guy version of Company that had been around in workshops for a while. Mm-hmm. And Sondheim was worried that people would think of the show as like the gay show. So he didn't allow it to happen.
Well, now he's dead.
So
maybe we'll do it then.
But he definitely approved of this reincarnation. So,
well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. So now we're going to move on to Best Choreography. Now we've got Camille A. Brown again for Colored Girls, Warren Carlyle, The Music Man, Carrie-Anne Ingruyer for Six, Bill T. Jones for Paradise Square, and Christopher Wheeldon for MJ.
I want Christopher Wheeldon to win this one. I love the dancing in this show.
That's what I hear. I hear it's amazing. I think it's probably going to be that too. What do you think, Pauly?
I think it could be Bill T. Jones. It's kind of everything that people talk about the show is the musical numbers. Well, it's the only thing people talk about that show.
I was just going to ask that because I didn't get tickets because of the way people talk. Should I go see that show?
You should see it because you will be surprised at some of the other performances. Like for me, like I said, Joaquina Calicongo is really what it's all about as far as I'm concerned. Mm. Bill T. Jones's choreography, it took me a second when I was watching it because I kept going, there's a lot of hands and arms and, you know, like it's 1863. This is some weird, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? And then when I saw it was him, then I said, oh, well, that totally makes sense now. It's like a Fosse moment, you know, like you recognize the style once you realize who it is. And so,
gotcha.
But he won, didn't he win for Spring Awakening? Yeah. So I don't really feel like this one will be the one that will be for him. I think it's probably going to be for MJ because that is what everybody's talking about. And since he directed and choreographed like Camille, they'll have to split the difference. You know
they'll
what
split
I mean?
It like that.
They'll split the difference. But in either case, it would be fantastic.
And not many plays that get nominated for Best Choreography. So that's pretty
cool. You're right.
That's Camille. Very true. Very, very, very true. So now we are looking for, as I say this, for Best Score.
You're going to book a score.
Book and score, right? Where?
Yeah.
All right. I can't find it on the list. Hold on. I'm looking.
You want me to read
it? There we go. Got it. Best Original Score. Music and or lyrics written for the theater. Jason Robert Brown and Amanda Green for Mr. Saturday Night. Jason Howland, Nathan Tyson, and Masi Asari, who I know, actually, Paradise Square. Michael R. Jackson, A Strange Loop. Tom Kitt and Michael Corey for Flying Over Sunset. And Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss for Six. Michael R. Jackson, sorry. He's got this one. He's got it. I
think the only other option would be Six.
Maybe
I'm thinking Six. That's what I think. Yeah. Six.
Six is really very clever when you listen to what's going on. And A Strange Loop is really just like it's basically a concert.
It is a kind of
like a you could say it's more like an opera, I guess, if everybody's just singing the whole time. But Michael R. Jackson, though, his Strange Loop, I mean, it's a Pulitzer Prize winning piece. Like, they'd be shady not to give him all of that. I'm just saying.
But you think or could he win book?
He could win book as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes the Pulitzer Prize doesn't mean best musical. You know, there's a lot of cases, Sunday in the Park with George, for instance, where, but I mean, I think maybe not in this case because everyone loves A Strange Loop.
Everyone, everyone loves it. And it's really shocking to me because, again, like I said, my mouth was halfway dropped open through half of the stuff on stage. I was like, oh my God, did he just say that? Oh my God, did they just do that? Oh my God. Like, what is happening on the Great White Way? I don't think they were ready for that big, black, queer, and American Broadway. So, yeah, so it's a lot going on. But I think A Strange Loop is going to be the thing to beat in this category. Now, now let's get to the big things. Let's look at best play.
Oh, what about best book?
Oh, best book? Did I miss best book?
You missed book.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, who's, where's the book? Where's the book? Where's the book? I can't find it. Here, you read it to me. Tell me what's the best books.
Okay. Girl from North Country, Connor McPherson, MJ, Lynn Nottage, Mr. Saturday Night, Billy Crystal, Lowell Ganz, Babalu Mandel, Paradise Square, Christina Anderson, Craig Lucas, and Larry Kingwan, A Strange Loop, Michael R. Jackson.
I say Michael R. Jackson.
I think, I think that's what it's going to be here. Yeah, I agree. I think we agree.
It's like there's either a split for him getting the score or it's going to be this. So it's one of the
MJ.
Not MJ. I heard the, everybody's mad at the book of MJ only because they feel like he didn't address the issues. I was like, well, it wasn't about that. So that's what happened.
Well, it was also set in 93. Like,
exactly.
All of intentionally.
Intentionally. So, they wouldn't have to deal with it.
Absolutely.
So that they wouldn't have to deal with it. And that's a very smart move on their part, I think. But what
do you mind? Listen, when I went to see it, it was one of those, I mean, I'll go quickly. It was one of those where I thought, you can't go see this. I can't allow myself to see it. And I'm like, yes, I can. I can go and support all of those working Broadway actors, people, actors and creators that front need of house. This money, need an audience. And I left there and I ran and told everybody, if you can put aside the other part in your brain, go see this musical. Like, it's that good. That was my
I love that. I love it. Oh, well, there we go. Now we're going to get on to the big prizes, baby. The
revivals. Big prizes. You're going to do revivals first?
We can do the revivals. Yes. The best revival of a play. American Buffalo. For colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. How I Learned to Drive. Take Me Out. Trouble in Mind.
Isn't this weird? How I Learned to Drive was never on Broadway. It was off Broadway.
Right.
Yeah, so why is it a revival?
Because it's been produced in New York, just like, remember, the Heart. What you call them, Heart?
The Normal Heart.
The Normal Heart. It's the same thing with The Normal Heart.
Yeah, because it's been produced and it's been done regionally. It's sort of, it's in that sphere.
So, but it's still not a bad choice. I mean, I'm all for it.
But I'm a little biased. I think that may be how they, that was also a Pulitzer Prize winner. So that may get this one, I think.
That, you think? For best revival? Although
I think. And The Skin of Our Teeth was
ignored. Yeah.
Was shut out.
But I think like For Colored Girls might actually have a chance considering the energy that's now going to start being directed towards it. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But I have a feeling it may end up being How I Learned to Drive because everybody loves Paula Vogel too. So
yeah,
Present Company included. I think she's fabulous. Best revival of a musical. We've got Caroline or Change, Company, and The Music Man.
And wait, where's the other show?
Oh, no. It seems something here is missing.
That's the biggest shade when there's four options and they just nominate three.
They just nominate three.
And that they
just
cut tells out Funny you, Girl.
You know, that's the prize of nepotism. Ooh. That's the pride of everyone saying, well, she's not Barbara. But again, I always, like I said, I remember one year when we did this too, there was another show that had a great musical and it was like they chose not to put it in the category when they had plenty of room to do it. And it's like the bottom line is that these producers are trying to make money. All of them are. The Broadway League is about to make money. So for them to snub a show within that same space is really kind of shady and it's like biting the hand that feeds you because again, you know you're not going to vote for it. Nobody's going to vote for it because of the way that they feel about it. But at the same time, you know, they need to remember that you want people to come and see it anyway. And if it's not going to get nominated, people are not going to ever put it in their brains. So
no.
I'm going to give you a quick quote. Someone told me before the nominations came out, pray that the multimillionaires are happy with the results of what 29 relatively wealthy people think of their shows. I'm not going to say who that was, but anyway.
Well, for this category, I'm going to say Company.
You're going to go for Company?
I think it's definitely Company.
And now you also have to remember, too, that these are shows that you have to think about. If they win, will they travel? Will they be able to go to other cities? Will it be easy to put it on the road? Because that's ultimately what happens with the best musicals and best plays and all that other stuff. And this show, I feel like Company's, it seems, I haven't seen it, but it seems very simple in terms of its staging and the spacing, that it could easily be something they could pick up and put other people in and take it on the road, you know?
Right.
Samard could have a star turn in this moment, you know, and do it that way. So I'm going to go with Company for the best revival. Mm. Music Man is too huge. It's too big. Nobody wants all that in their face. Like,
nobody wants that rooted crap.
You know, and again, that's the other part of it too. It's like that energy that's attached to it as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Mm. All right. So now we're getting down to the real deals.
Mm.
Best original play. We've got Clydes by Lynn Nottage. Hangmen by Martin McDonagh, The Lehman Trilogy by Stefano Massini and Ben Power, The Minutes by Tracy Letts, and Skeleton Crew by Miss Dominique Morisseau. What do you think?
Well, first off, I'm really happy Hangmen was able to come back because they were the first show to announce they were closing in previews before, when everything shut down, and they weren't originally going to come back. So that was a really big deal. I'm assuming they got the $10 million from the government. you know, when Lehman Trilogy was in the previous season, I was thinking, oh, they're going to win Best Play at the time. I don't know. I mean, it could go to The Minutes. I do love Martin McDonagh. It's very talented. It is interesting that Lynn Nottage is up for Best Play and Best Book.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right.
So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
It's strange that The Minutes got nothing else except this one nomination, though. This is it. This is their own. And I was really enjoying that play until someone tell me about that. And whoa.
Can we talk about
Army Hammer ending? Was great. Oh, wait, he wasn't in it. Okay.
Shame. Again, like I watched that play and I was it was with it until the end, and I was like, okay, what the hell is that ending about? And then
like we walked out in a fog.
And it's like it's that thing where you're with them all the way, and then all of a sudden you get to the end, you're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Is this like, and then it's like, what are we supposed to take away from the moment? And I have my theories, and we shouldn't give it all away if people are actually gonna see it. However, I did enjoy watching the cute boy from Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek.
He was adorable.
Noah.
He's so cute.
That was his Broadway debut, and I thought he did a wonderful job.
He was amazing. He was amazing and fun.
But
and
I think for this category, I do think it's going to be Lehman Trilogy.
Lehman Trilogy.
You know what they say? It's not the best musical, the best play. It's the longest one.
Again, but you got to think about what will ultimately travel if they wanted to put a show on the road.
True, but most plays don't necessarily travel. Some
that's
do.
True, but not all of them. That is true.
Yeah.
But, so this could be just a good moment for someone to write a really long play. I think in the end, I think because Tracy Letts is a favorite in so many different ways that he probably will walk away with best play.
Mm.
Interesting.
And it's one of those ones easy to produce because it's one set. You know what I mean? They don't have to move a lot of things around. They don't have to change lighting. It's not a lot of stuff to do except keeping in that same room. All right. And here we go. Best original musical. We've got Girl from the North Country, MJ, Mr. Saturday Night, Paradise Square, Six, and A Strange Loop.
Isn't it funny that had this been before, Six probably would have won this category back in 2020. And yeah. now I do think it'll be Strange Loop instead, yeah. as you guys are talking about it.
Yes.
I would say
it was very hyped at that time too.
Yeah, yes. I think six is getting nominations more so now because it was that one show that literally was going to open the night that they did the entire shutdown.
Yes.
So, you know, mm-hmm. and but you have to give remember it to six though. Six is one of the few shows that came back right when everything started up again and has still yeah. managed to maintain an audience all the way through.
And yeah. they're making the most money.
And they're making the most musical. Money. Yeah. And so, you know, those are the other factors that, you know, many of the people that don't realize is that these voters put into consideration. It's like, mm. you know, again,
and it's already on tour.
And it's already on tour. So they don't need any more accolades from anybody else technically, but an Oscar, a Tony win would be really nice for them. But I really think though that Strange Loop will be the walk away. Strange Loop is the one that everyone's talking about. So
there are three shows that were excluded from yes. this. Diana, which we don't even have to talk about that one nomination, but Flying Over Sunset and Mrs. Doubtfire. So the fun fact I was going to tell you about Flying Over Sunset, it was originally James Lapine. He brought it to Stephen Sondheim to write. And mm-hmm. Sondheim said, I'm not interested. This doesn't sound like a good show. And he turned it down.
Good on Sondheim. Good for him. So, smart man.
I got to say, you know, I saw that show and all I sat through was thinking, man, this is really not doing anything for me at all. And I felt bad because, again, I love me some Tony Yazbek. I live for my Carmen Cusack. And what's his name? Hayden. Hayden.
Mm-hmm. What's his Harry. Name?
Harry Hayden Payton.
Those are like three names.
Three names. Yeah. The beautiful British boy. I live for mm-hmm. him. I loved him. Lived for him in My Fair Lady. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
And
yes.
so, like, yeah. I was really excited about seeing the show. And that was the thing. I walked in excited about seeing the show with these three fabulous performers that I've admired in different individual things. And then thinking all of them together would be so beautiful. And I honestly have to say it didn't wow me at all.
Intermission, I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. Where's this going to go? Even though I thought the tone was all messed up because the tone was so jarring.
Yeah.
And by act two, I'm like, if they're not giving us LSD, I want to peel off my face right now. Make this stop. And every song went into the next song. They were song cycles. Uh-huh. They weren't songs.
Just, you know, and so, I mean, you know, and again, God bless the original musical. You know, this is the thing that I always talk about, like, you know, we can armchair and be crazy and ridiculous because we are who we are. But when you see things like the critics, the way that they pan a show, this is the thing I've learned now, especially being an usher, is that there are so many other lives that are attached to whether or not a show fails or does well. And so when you are criticizing a show, you need to really be aware of the fact that you are messing with other people's jobs, not just getting your rocks off by being shady about the director or, you know, coming for an actor that you never liked before. And, you know, all of that stuff is really, you know, unnecessary if you don't like something. Because all you got to do is just say, you know, there's a lot of things in this show that did not work for me, and that's me. It's like, but
well, and also as an usher, you see the real people in an audience who are not the critics. So you will see people that'll leave going, oh my God, I love that, mm-hmm. which is what's mm-hmm. happening with Funny Girls. So many people loving it when critics and
wait, are you some sure? of us. Are you talking about Funny Girl? Because it wasn't that
some
funny,
of us who
girl.
Have written musicals in our past. Think a little more about certain things when we go to a show, but yeah,
but
there's
again,
nothing wrong with going to a quote unquote flop show and loving it because that's just how theater thrives by people seeing shows.
You know, I will tell you that season that we had Angels in America and Margaritaville, and I saw both, and I saw both of them in the same week. Now here's the thing: of course, I go to see Angels in America, and I'm having my full on highbrow theatrical experience and 6 hours, 8 hours in the theater. You know, this is so broad and this is so fabulous. And I loved every minute of it. When I went to see Margaritaville, I went in with a really stank attitude because I was like, Jimmy Buffett can just bite it, right? But what I realized is when I turned around and looked at the rest of the people in the Marriott Marquis, they were having a great time. And then when I looked on the stage and I got Paul Anthony Nolan and I got Rima Webb and I got, what's her name from, oh my God, I love her. She was in the It Had to Be You or It Should Have Been You with Montego Glover.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, who had the big blue number at the end and she was like fabulous. Yeah. Oh shit, her name is escaping me. Anyway, but she, you know, like that performance and that show was really just fun. And these actors got their 20 weeks, they got their insurance. The people that worked at the house made money. Folks got excited when the beach balls fell from the sky and they all got to take
home Lisa Howard.
You know, Lisa Howard, that's it. And and these people were very excited about being in the theater. And it was like, how dare I be so shady to be like, this show was just absolutely horrible. Well, it wasn't my necessarily cup of tea. It wasn't for me per se. But when I saw all those people smiling and all those people happy and all of those people on stage working and all those people at concessions working and all the ushers working, that's when you realize that it's theater is big enough for everybody's tastes. And so,
and I totally agree with that. And for another show, we would get into, but what is the responsibility of a producer when they're charging so much money and you just can't put up crap on stage when you're charging us that much money? But that's for another,
That's for another show. But I mean,
we're supposed to be celebrating that it's back right now. And then theater is back and we have the Tonys back.
And we have the Tonys back. And a little bit of the snarkiness we still should have because we shan't lose our edges.
That's who we are.
We cannot give up our edge. But at the same time, we have to also be really thrilled and happy that theater is back. And theater is back in a much bigger way than it was last year. It didn't even feel real to me, even though people were like all into it. It's like, but for some reason, it does feel that way now. And so I'm so glad that we got a chance to dish again. It's been four years since we've all been together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really nice to be able to, you know, kibitz and confab and really talk about it from a place of, you know, we're into it as we are, but at the same time, you know, it's nice to see folks working. I'm just so glad to see people on the stage. And let's point out, cause we got a little more time. Let's point out the fact that this season has been the most blackety black season on Broadway I have ever seen in my life. Like, what is going on? They are, and it's like, and it's wonderful to see. And I can't wait till there's more room for more people. It's like, you know, the only bad thing about it being this black is that because it puts so many choices on an audience, especially for the black audiences that come out to see shows. It's like, you know, you can only see Tina or MJ. Or, you know what I mean? Those are the things that you're going to think about as black people before you see For Colored Girls, or before you go see Paradise Square, or before you go see, you know, there's something else that's coming. Oh, it's an off-Broadway show that's coming through Roundabout, where it's going to be a bunch of black gay men. You know, it's like, you can only see A Strange Loop. You know what I mean? Like, when those dollars are being diluted that way, it's a hard thing to say that a black audience is going to support each and everything. They had Lackawanna Blues, you had Skeleton Crew, you had, so there's a lot of stuff that's there, and I'm so thankful to see it. I just wish it didn't all show up all at the same time, but you know, it's feast or famine, you know, feast or famine. Let's see what happens next year. Let's see who'll be in next year. What ethnic group will be the one to be seeing the most of next year?
I love it too. I think more diversity and more equality, and hiring less William Ivy Longs with rape allegations that happened to be nominated this year, third time since the allegations went public. But there is a lot to celebrate. As we mentioned, we've had the first transgender person nominated performance. Huge strides. People making efforts to really be inclusive and just do their job better without having the distractions of certain producers and whatnot. It's
I gotta say, I'm very surprised at those allegations. Only because, again, sitting across from that man, interviewing that man, there's no way in my mind I could ever picture. Like, I don't know who would let him get to be that aggressive with him. That's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that must have been a job, either you do it or don't do it kind of scenario, because there, to me, he doesn't seem like he has that much fight in him to be able to do anything to anyone. But, you know, again, I don't think he would have pulled that off with me. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Well,
I was like, girl, please.
No.
Please. No. For real, I don't think so.
Not happening.
However, you know, it's sad because, again, you know, a six-time Tony Award winning costume designer whose work is respected.
And was fired from the show. Let's be very clear. He was fired from the show and then got nominated for a Tony. Oh, wow. I mean, it's not that they didn't, you know, stop using his costumes or they didn't stop paying him, but he was not involved with the show
afterwards
for the last year. So,
Well, you know what? There you go. That's called, that's a dream gig. Like, you don't have to work and they still gonna pay
don't
you.
Show up.
Oh, but just like Scott up. Rudin. Just like Scott Rudin. Oh, wait, like but Rudin. We don't have time for that.
No, that, well, we only got 5 minutes. We got 5 minutes. We can't go nuts.
We can't even talk about the fraudster, Garth Dabrinsky. Oh, I can't say his name.
Right,
Dabrinsky, who's nominated for Best Musical for Paradise Square.
Is there a scandal that I don't know of? What's going on? Well, you got to give me a little
back in the day.
Yeah, you tell him, Greg.
No, go ahead.
He did jail time for defrauding people. He did jail time in Canada specifically. It's just how it worked out in the courts. Okay. But there is a lot of conversation. What should he be allowed to come back? And then in rehearsals, the actors weren't getting paid. And there is a lot of questions about that. I mean, it's been running, so I'm hoping they're all getting paid and everyone's getting treated well. But it's a bit controversial that he is back and nominated for a Tony.
Well, you know what? But you know what? That's the business. That's
the business. I know. That's
the business.
And a lot can go forward, but we just go backwards too often.
But when we go backwards, it's just so embarrassing because there's no reason to go backwards. We're going backwards for no reason. And that's kind of like our current government. We're going backwards for no reason, except for other people and their foolishness. So let's just pray, though, that come June 12th,
Ariana Grande.
Sorry. Ariana DeBose, Oscar-winning actress now, Ariana DeBose, will be hosting the Tony Awards, which, you know, I think is going to be interesting, but it's going to also, I mean, luckily she's a singer dancer, so she can do all of the things that like a Hugh Jackman can do.
Right.
So we don't necessarily need to have Hugh Jackman again. And, you know, now that he's all Trump connected, it's like, I don't, I'm all right. I'm cool with it, you know, but I think that she will probably do a very, very good job. I just hope that in the end, we don't wind up going, what did they do? How'd they pick her? So she better be damn good.
Otherwise, we'll all be back here on June
13th. Exactly. So June 13th, talking about how
more shade.
Exactly. Oh my God. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for doing
this.
Thank you.
It's so much
fun. Thank you.
And I hope people that are listening will listen for the, at least listen for their choices and then also enjoy the snark. Because honestly, that's what we do best. So for Paul and Greg and myself, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And we will see you on June 12th.